this, I'm going to get
started. 8:45 on the podium clock. We're going to call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Open Meeting Act posted on southeast wall. Attendance by observation: Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard. Chairman declares the 209 session formally closed. Signed, aye. And we turn it over to the Madam Clerk.
Okay. So I guess I will go ahead and ask for nominations for chairman.
Madam Clerk, I would nominate Rex Adams for chairman.
Okay. Any other nominations for chairman? Want to do the...
I would move that nominations be ceased.
By unanimous? By unanimous?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, second that if we need it. Actually, if there would have been none with three calls, we wouldn't need a motion. But
I would think not.
Yeah. Oh, you want to get your name in the thing.
No. Well, I've always been on the assumption that you close the nominations if nobody...
We'll call for unanimous ballot to be cast.
Okay, well...
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Do you want to record it?
Pardon me?
You want to record it up there?
Yeah, better vote on it, I guess. That's Don's end then.
Oh, okay, vote.
Yeah, 7-0. You're right, Ron. That should be, shouldn't it?
You would be. You could be impeached for not being voted on.
Okay, Vice Chairman's up next then.
Madam Clerk, I nominate Dave Anderson for Vice Chairman.
It'd be him now. He's in charge.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Mr. Chairman, I guess you are again.
Yeah.
I nominate Dave Anderson for Vice Chairman.
Motion to nominate Dave Anderson. Dave. Matt? Seconded by Matt.
I move the nomination to be closed and the unanimous ballot be cast for Dave Anderson for Vice Chairman.
Moved by Mr. Byers. Unanimous ballot. Closed. Vote. 7-0 in of approval.
Thank you, folks. Didn't have to use no paper.
No, save my paper till next time.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, first thing up is the consent agenda. General agenda, approve minutes of meeting held December 30th, 2009. Approve all claims through January 13th, 2010 in the amount of $345,309.59. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve Bank Depository Security First Bank, Bank of the West, Tier 1 Bank, First State Bank, Pinnacle Bank, Citizen State Bank, First National Bank of Omaha, NPATE. Approve appointing Don Hill to prepare the county budget.
You get DeWitt State Bank.
DeWitt State Bank, Adams State Bank. No, they're not on this one. Well, they might be if they're underneath the tag. State Bank of Odell. Approve appointing Don Hill to prepare the county budget. Approve appointing Patty Milligan to prepare levies necessary to fund certified tax request. Approve designation of official county newspapers, Beatrice Daily Sun 65%, Wymore Arbor State 35%. Approve Don Hill as a NERMA contact person. Approve exercising buyback option on 2005 New Holland Motor Grader.
I move consent agenda 1 through, what is it?
Yeah.
10 be approved.
Moved by Fleece.
Seconded
by Bauman. Discussion.
Yeah, I've got a couple. The Boucher Law Firm, that is for our lawsuits, right? That's the company that Paul Douglas works for.
Okay, yes.
Okay, and are we going to have a discussion on the buyback on that machine later, or if we're voting on it now, we won't?
I thought we had the discussion last.
I didn't think we'd come to a conclusion is all. We were going to go ahead and buy it back. There was no motion to do that, was there?
Well, that's what it would
part
be here.
Agenda.
It's on the consent agenda, so I mean.
That's the motion.
Okay.
Chairman, what is that? What was that final price? Was that 60?
41,500 and on check with.
41.5 is what?
Yeah, on check with other dealers, just trying to feel it.
you know, see what it might be.
You want to pull the consent off, and that way we can have discussion on the consent. Or, I mean, pull the New Holland off, then we can have discussion on it.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You can discuss it. If he wants to pull it off, we can.
I don't necessarily want to pull it off. I just want an explanation. Like Matt said, what's the dollar amount?
Marlon will give the explanation.
Simple questions about a bit.
Talking to other dealers, and they said that's probably more than they'd offer on a buyback or a trade. You know, we paid 116 something for it when it was new 5 years ago. $41,500 isn't, you know, for machines that have better resale, you know, that isn't real good, but these don't have the resale yet. I don't know if they will, but that's pretty well where we're at on it. It is running now, but we're not using it. We don't want it to break down again.
Again?
Yeah.
Thank you, Marlon. Thanks, Rex.
So we paid 116 or 160?
116. Yeah.
So it was 50 grand less than a cat. Okay. When we bought 53,000 less than a cat when we bought.
Cash out of pocket, we're getting about 35% back, 37% back after 5 years
of misery.
6,300 hours on it.
63.
Okay. Wasn't that quite a few more hours than some that you had checked that what they had also received?
Right. I checked some. The only ones I could find that had been sold on auction was 2006 models that had one had 1,900 hours on it, and it brought somewhere around 70,000. Then one had 2,100, and I think it brought 62.
So about a third less hours.
Right. Right. And a year newer. So. Oh.
Any more discussion on the consent agenda? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Regular agenda comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Mark?
I wanted to give an opportunity to the board to bring them up to speed on what we're doing with FEMA and the most recent three storms we had. You know, we tried to squeak through the rest of the year without a federal disaster, and we made it all the way to November, so we did pretty good that way. But now we're November 16th, of course, was declared. The president signed that for a federal disaster. Part of the biggest expense in Gage County, again, was for Norris Public Power. They had over $1.5 million worth of damage just in Gage County from that November 16th storm. I went around yesterday. The deadline to for a request for assistance to fill the paperwork out, request for assistance, is Friday. We were scheduled to have a meeting when we had the blizzard, so the FEMA canceled it because they couldn't get down from Omaha and or from Lincoln. And so we've rescheduled the meeting for the November 16th storm for next Wednesday at 1 o'clock at the extension office. So anybody, if you know of a township or entity, government entity that needs to fill any paperwork out or wants to request assistance for that storm, that'll be, we have to get paperwork in by this Friday to me. And so I'm going basically to all the townships. Yesterday I traveled and caught most of them that need to fill out the paperwork. So they need to have that paperwork in by Friday, but they can't. They need to also attend the meeting on Wednesday, the 20th at 1 o'clock at the extension office. The next storm would be the Christmas Eve storm, December 24th. Actually, they're going to take December 22nd to December 28th for that storm. FEMA was here yesterday. The county highway department, Marlon and Emily, worked with them, and then they went out and visited some of the cities and villages and townships again. Talked to Kathy from FEMA this morning. Kathy's it's kind of a bad, I explained to Doug earlier, it's kind of bad when you talk to FEMA and you tell them where they need to go and you think you're going to have to give them directions, but they know how to get there already. So she's very familiar with the county for as many disasters as we've had. She's been here for a few disasters. So talked to her this morning, and we are way over our threshold for that storm period. And she didn't even talk to probably half the townships, I don't imagine, did she?
For a presidential declaration.
So this governor's already signed this one on the 24th, but now they're going after the president to sign that one. And she said way over. I mean, she said, and I had a township, I met with one this morning already. For example, Blue Springs Township turned in for about, Blue Springs, Wymore Township, almost $7,000 additional cost that is eligible for that. And I imagine Fort Stanton will probably be more than that once they start to meet with them and say, basically, you know, we have to keep the roads open, and every road's declared, you know, is concentrated as an emergency route if there's a house on it. So, you know, there are a lot of them are hiring contractors and such. Now we have the storm for January 6th and 7th that we're also keeping track of, and I think actually there's actually more work, you know, a lot more work almost from the 6th and 7th storm because of the additional snow that we had from the 24th. And they're still doing work on that. Townships told me yesterday that they still don't have roads. You know, there's still a lot of roads that aren't open in the county, but it's roads that are untraveled, and that we still have to work on getting them open. And so they're hiring contractors. I know that City Beatrice is, between those two storms, is way over $100,000 alone. So I don't for sure know where Marlin's at on and things, but I guess, just so you know, we're probably going to end up with the three federal disasters at one time. So
I have a question for you, Mark. I know the MPG cannot be used to purchase the snow blower. There is no avenue around that where we've used it for emergency access.
No, because it
egress
has,
and
because we have to relate it to terrorism. So it's really hard, and they're pretty specific. I mean, it has to be able to be responded. I know you can fill that in, but they just absolutely said no. So the thing we could do is, you know, it's questionable even on renting one. You know, so I think the best way to go is if you have one is to or if you have one available, purchase it, and then when the next storm comes, that all counts towards.
That piece of equipment
was used, and you get paid for the hour, every hour you used it.
So that's good.
Even if you're, you're buying one today, you know, or tomorrow, or whenever, you know, that piece of equipment is on the approved equipment list, on the AEL, and they're going to pay you.
I'm going to pin you down, Mark. So. If you want to sidestep it, you can. It is on the agenda for acquisition of a snowblower. It is a lot of money. In your opinion, what you and Marlon went through of digging out people, rescuing people, do we need one in the county right now with the condition of our roads?
Absolutely, yes. I actually seen the state have theirs out yesterday. I went out and happened to drive by and seen them. So I stopped and watched the thing. And it's some, you know, the difference what that, the time and the material, the time and the wear and tear on the piece of equipment. I know Marlon's broke V blades and, you know, paws and everything else, and I listen, we monitor their radio traffic, and the guys are having a heck of a time out there. And I don't think people really, in reality, and I'm going to stand up for the highway department and the townships, because we really haven't had one say, you know, we had another emergency the other morning, 3 days after the storm, that we still hadn't got to the people because the townships was having a heck of a time getting to it. And we had a rescue call there. And if we would have the blower, they'll blow that open. I know it's a township road, but I can't imagine we can't.
He's a Gage County resident.
But yes, exactly right. But I can't imagine why we can't work out some with the townships when we do get the piece of equipment that we can bill the township back, because then the township can bill FEMA back. Yeah. So, I mean, the piece of equipment, eventually, you know, if you buy a newer piece of equipment that's going to last you a long time, eventually it's going to pay for itself. I mean, you know, one rescue, for example, will pay for itself. If any of you wanted to be out with me and Marlon, we were nuts the other morning. I'm going to tell you, it was treacherous out there. If we would have had a blower, we would have probably been there, could have cut our time down a lot. But, you know, Marlon still has the talent of operating that piece of equipment, and it was the people. I think if you got the people up here, they'd really thank you, because they were pretty happy they got out of there that night alive. So I think that piece of equipment, you look at it, could it have saved a life? That piece of equipment saved a life? You bet. During the last 3 weeks.
I think frustration has come into play with a lot of people, but a lot of them don't realize or acknowledge how hard the people have worked to open roads, the hours dedicated to it.
Well, and the coordination, I guess, even the, you know, the coordination between the 911 center and the highway department foreman, and calling me or calling a township. Yes, we had a few townships, so I'll be first to tell you, that didn't answer. But, you know, were they out? I don't know. But there wasn't ever a time. I want the citizens of the county know that we worked around the clock to ensure that if there was an emergency at their house, we would have got to you. Yes, time would have been delayed. It was delayed the other morning, and that was during the daylight. But I'm telling you something, when you turn around and you look and you see a VPOC coming from this way and the township coming, the farmer out there already with a tractor, and the county coming with a loader to help this lady that needed an ambulance, that was pretty awesome. And it only took a matter of minutes to do that between telephone calls, radio traffic, and coordinating with different agencies.
At some point, we faced fatigue of our operators, too, because this has been nonstop for 3 weeks now that they've been out working. And I
think that, like I said, for the most part, we had to have an evacuation related to the snowstorm, because what happened in Husqvarna was the snow fell off the top of the building onto the gas meter and broke the gas meter off. And so the cooperation of people just cooperating to evacuate falls back of, you know, in emergency responders there. It was cold. And so everybody's frustrated with it. I hope that everybody can take their time and take a deep breath. You know, it'll go away someday. We may be blowing up snowbanks with 4th of July fireworks, but, you know, we're...
I want to pass on a compliment, because I had a telephone call from a family who live in Johnson County, but who come into Beatrice for their business, called to tell me that as they called to check on conditions and as they asked, they had tremendous cooperation from the people of Gage County. Everybody was open. They gave them what they needed. And sorry about this, but they called Johnson County, got no response, got no kind of reaction, got absolutely no kind of service whatsoever. So the county where they lived, they were very upset with, but they wanted to compliment us on what we did in Gage County. So I want to pass that compliment on.
I think that doesn't get down to the people that really need to hear that very often. So, I mean, it's good to do that. And it's not only coordination within our county. The night of the rescue down there, we had Marshall County involved, and we coordinated and have kept in touch with Jefferson County. So, I mean, we try to coordinate the... But, again, I want to stress to the people in the county that were concerned. I know we got some emails, or actually got copied on them, too, the people that were concerned that, you know, my road's not open yet, and if I have an emergency, well, that would be a priority then. We would take off, and we would get it done. I have the authority right now if we needed to. The state has never done this before, in the 9 years almost I've been here now, is that I can divert a state snowplow to help us in an emergency. But I have to make a call to Lincoln, and the duty officer has to call the State Department of Roads, who has to call the supervisor. And if there's a state plow, or a snowblower or a piece of equipment in the area and we have emergency that we don't have equipment available, they can divert that. Now, that takes a lot, because that's never... If you remember a couple years ago, a state highway employee department, a roads person lost his job because he plowed open a driveway for an ambulance.
Yeah.
You know, so that's thinking is past now. So we really do coordinate that. And the efforts of everybody, all the first responders and the preparation for it, I think it's
frustrating. Well, I don't think enough thanks can be given for your office and Marlon's office and the workers on the ground. Because they have dedicated a lot of time taking it away from their families over the holiday season. When the family's back, these guys were out opening roads so other people could get to their families.
Sure.
And I don't think we can acknowledge them enough for the efforts that they made.
Mr. Chair.
Gary and then Dave.
Just one thing, and maybe we could talk about it when Marlon's up on his report, Rex. Something about the people calling in that needed help, the police department they were calling. Maybe we should talk. You want to talk about that later, or is there? What are we? I'm sure there's a way we can alleviate it, but maybe Mark knows how we're going to do that.
I think we've worked on it already. So
we talked about that in Road and Bridge. I think we worked out a system that will kind of have 911 dispatch be like the third, you know, the last call or something that will provide.
Well, they'll have numbers they can get.
Yes, they do.
Their numbers, they do now.
We're back to a 30-year storm. We don't have the experience to handle it either, and we're learning some of this as we go. So.
I mean, it's just a question that came up, so I was just curious.
Some
where
people are going to call 911 just out of panic.
You know,
I've been housebound 2 days, 911.
People call 911 because the warning siren's going off every first Tuesday of the month, and we've done that for 20 years.
But it'd be part of our learning curve.
But we did get contacted by Bruce Lang, and we are taking corrective action, or alternate action, I guess would be a better word. So
thank you.
I just Mark mentioned when you and Marlon went down, and I take it, and I don't know that there's general awareness, Marlon jumped in the maintainer and mm-hmm. went down, so he personally drove the maintainer down to this Kansas line to rescue the people that were just north of the Kansas.
Sheriff's
line.
Office is out there also already. They could not get to him. We contacted 911. In return, I called Marlon, and it was Christmas Eve, and Marlon and I met at the what's that?
What time was all this?
Oh, it was 12:30
at night.
Yeah. Actually, it was Christmas morning because we didn't get home till 4:30.
Worst part of the storm.
4:30.
Worst part of the storm.
So, yeah.
Mark sent. I don't know if everyone got it. He sent video of them in the storm. And how far were you behind Marlon on that?
By then we'd caught up. He took off a little bit before we did. We met at the county shop first, and he did the walkthrough on the machine and took off, and we were probably a quarter of a mile behind him. But you absolutely, at that point, you could not see anything. That's probably the point we thought about turning around.
I didn't want to send the guys out down there because I thought they were older than I was, but I found out one guy was younger.
So, I think it was about 4:30. And we had to plow our way out of Wymore as well as on the state highways, down there and then back, because by the time we got back, if Marlon wouldn't have been ahead of us going back, the road was already blown shut. And we have a pretty big piece of equipment in the fire department. Luckily, our purchase of a rescue truck sets up high and it's four-wheel drive.
Rescue?
Medium duty. It's not heavy. So, but it was. And Marlon did a couple of times we backed up and we had radio communications that worked out good and with us and so. Yeah, it wasn't a pretty sight. So we only chose to take three of us because we didn't want to take any more, and we could have. And then we had to dig them out by hand. You can only go so close to them by the time we got there. We had to dig them then by hand, about a few feet away. So, and they were on the wrong side of the road, so at the last minute diverted over to the other side to keep them. So it was. I don't want to sound like it was terrible, but it was. So. Yeah, Marlon was the operator. I was pretty impressed with him. He still has the talent, so.
Anything else for Mark? Thank you.
Yep, you bet. Thank you.
Any more public comment?
Got snacks. I'm going to read this on behalf of the sheriff. He's out on sick leave today.
Doug, for the record, will you name?
Oh, Doug Klaus, Chief Deputy. Sorry. I'm going to read this. This is a commendation. I'll just go through the whole thing here. Kind of goes through on the date of occurrence is November 5, 2009. I was a submitter, and I'm reading this on behalf of the sheriff, I guess. So, the person that was submitted for a commendation is Mark Mainz, who's one of our part-time deputies. On November 5, 2009, Mark Mainz called myself to advise that he had deserved a male subject heading towards the front of the sheriff's office with a crowbar. With initial disbelief, I turned and looked out my office window and observed a male subject with a crowbar walking towards my office with an obvious purpose. When I lost sight of the male subject, I heard the glass shatter. By the time I got to the front office area, the suspect was in the front lobby area holding a crowbar over his head, indicating that I was going to have to shoot him. Because of Mark Mainz's observations and quick thinking, along with radio and communications, I was able to have a brief moment to prepare for what was about to happen. If Mainz would not have been there or to have seen the subject or called, he would have been able to walk into a situation for our corrections officers and front staff office area that would not have been prepared to happen at that time. Mark Mainz has proven himself time and time again with his involvement in assisting law enforcement, especially in our agency, without any thought for himself or the amount of man hours that he dedicates to aid the citizens of Gage County. It is for these reasons that I would like to officially nominate part-time Gage County Sheriff, Deputy Sheriff Mark Mainz for the Meritorious Service Award. So at this time, on behalf of the sheriff, I'd like to present you with this medal and service award. Thank you. Thank you.
Photo op.
Thank you.
Photo op. Oh, photo op.
Luke got his camera.
Any more public comment? Harlan, you're up. Highways report.
Well, if you notice on my report, it's pretty short. Basically, all the crews have been removing snow and stuff since Christmas Day. So there's been a few glitches, but overall, I think our guys did a good job. Put in a lot of hours, so there'll be some of the overtime starting to come through. So I'm sure you noticed it. But we'll start out with zoning the rock quarry issue. It's too late to get it on the later January meeting. I think it's 27th. People that were going to seek some legal counsel haven't got back to me, so possibly it'll be on the first meeting in February. And also, we're looking at the preliminary wind generation regs. Preliminary ones are done. We're looking them over to see what it'll be okay. Moving on down to the highway business, we got an agreement on the agenda between Norris Public Power and Gage County for utility relocation on project STPE 3220 Unit 6, Beatrice North Project, Hickory Road. We had an agreement, but the city wanted to move the line over to the north side, so I'm talking with the state, NDOR, the local projects division. They wanted, said we just well pass a new agreement, so everything's on the paperwork, so that's what that one's for.
I move we approve agreement with North Public Power and Gage County for utility relocation on project STPE 32203, parenthesis 6, Beatrice North.
Second.
Moved by Fleece, seconded by Anderson. Discussion. Gary?
The cost of the county is?
It's in there. It's about $7,000-something. The city's $7,000-something.
So our cost is $7,000?
Ours is the same as the original agreement because we were going to have to move the line originally. And now they wanted it moved to the north side. So
the same $7,000, what would it cost us? It would have kept it where it was at. So
yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 in favor.
The next thing, I guess, is a snow blower issue. Put that on the agenda. After I put that on, found another blower. The one from Murphy Tractor. We'll move up to 2,000 tons per hour. The second sheet has the prices on it. Seven to 10 business days after order. So that's 2 weeks.
How much snow would the other one need?
The other one was 1,500 to 1,800 tons per hour. It had a little bigger motor on it and a few other options for width. 255 horsepower cat. This one has a 202 horse cat on it. Tier 3 engine, which is environmentally safe engine. So,
Matt?
The 8-foot width, and then you can get flare things to get out to 9 or 10 foot if you want to.
Matt, has a question, Mark?
Just as a point here, should we have Rick from the county attorney's office come up and explain why we're not going to bid this because of we're talking about doing the action today, maybe just because it's an emergency, just before we spend a hundred and some thousand?
Thanks. You can keep the pad in the chair.
Thank you. The county bidding procedures. Statutes, competitive bidding, do require emergency purchases. I sent all the board members an email with the pertinent language. It takes a majority vote of the members. Should be a finding that it's necessary to meet an emergency and that threatens serious loss of life, health, or property in the county. This first came to my attention yesterday morning when I came in the office. I obviously had other things going on. This got put to the head of the table, but I did a little research on it. There's not a lot of case law. An emergency is a situation that's suddenly and unexpectedly arisen and it requires speedy action, and you guys determine what that is. There is no statutory definition of emergency. And I think we know why. I mean, you guys are better placed to determine what's an emergency in your county. So that there isn't a lot of litigation or a lot of case law on it, I guess, provides me some relief. So it is allowed.
I think in one aspect, Marlin has done some of the competitive quotes. We've called around. He's looked hard for one.
They have to be available. I mean, in order to, you know, they got to be sitting there. If you got to order them, they're 60 to 90 days out. So,
I guess I've done a lot of talking to people, not just in my area, but across the county. If you're rural, you know, they deem it's a necessary today. If you're city, some say you're spending a lot of money. Well, it's not just city that goes into the or rural that is in the rural. The city goes into there. UPS delivers there. The mail delivers there. There's a lot of things. There's other things to consider also. The longer those drifts set on our roads and settle into our roads, what will our rock bill be in the spring? And granted, this is a piece of equipment we can use this year and maybe not use again for 3 years, but can't hardly put a price tag on it if you live in the country. Gary?
Rex, I just did some calculations. Emily and Marlin tell me it takes about $3,000 for a mile of gravel now, and I assume that's a nominal thickness. And if you take the 124,000 because that's what we had. It'd only take 45 miles of gravel to pay for that machine. And the roads that we know that have the drifts, when those aren't going to go, when that snow's not going in the ditch, we're going to lose road base. Not only would we lose our gravel and our rock, we're going to lose a road base that we won't get back forever. So that's, other than the emergency use and all that, to understand, I'm approaching it of what it's going to cost us in the aftermath if we don't quickly get that snow farther off the main road so it'll drain and run down the ditches instead of wrecking the roads completely.
Down the road.
Yeah.
Dave?
Well, the concern I have as well is that the longer period of time that we have one-way roads out there, and some, you know, the locals are kind of familiar with that, but I ran across a clearly out-of-town driver on the cell phone that just about head on me coming up here Monday morning because it was one lane, and there, and I don't know, I would hope this machine somehow, and like Matt talked about earlier, could be made available to townships when the county has their roads all up to snuff, but there are miles and miles of township road out there that will be one lane road till Easter, but the way things look right now, I mean, it's just hard to describe, and I think some pictures went around that give a little bit of explanation, but the safety part, and plus is what Gary said, just the saving on the condition of the roads. The more we can get the snow back away from even the asphalt, let alone the rock roads, that's going to save that road base.
Finance would want to touch where this money had come from.
There's only one place it could come from. It had to come from inheritance funds.
And luckily, that's a significant amount of money there that
about a little bit over $1.8 million in there, but that's where it had to come from. I have a question, I guess, upon the ability of the machine, how it functions, how it works. And I know how it works, but in 2 weeks, that snow is going to settle a lot.
It already has. Yeah.
And as it settles, it becomes like a brick.
Hard.
And how effective is that snow blower going to be on that snow? Because I noticed yesterday on Highway 41 at the 14-mile corner, they were moving that snow from the shoulder onto one lane with buckets.
I've seen that.
Now, with snow blowers, how come they weren't going in there and cutting that out and blowing it?
Part of the reason is there's posts all along there.
Well, I know, but
reflectors.
It'd be pretty cheap to replace the post based upon what it's going to cost for that front-end loader for the time it takes.
Because they're doing that south of town today, too.
Yeah.
To me, it looked like they were windrowing it, Ron, for the machine to run through.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's, but I was wondering how come the machine.
I think it was too dense is how I took it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm wondering about.
And we got this. These are two stage. They have the augers in front, and some of them are one stage. And all the people I've talked to say you want to stay away from them for this kind of situation because of the hard snow and because of the height and stuff. So,
because in 2 weeks that snow is going to be pretty compacted and
yeah and
I don't think you're going to be able to take a full.
Right, right. You're going to have, it'll have to be sliced off. That's what the state's doing where they can get to it, where they don't want to run it. But then part of the problem, too, is they can't get off the shoulders because there's no frost under that snow. And they spin out with their equipment. And we've run into that, too. So the other thing is, and people talk about a big storm coming up. We don't even need a big storm. We just need a 4-inch snow with some wind, and we're stuck. You know. So,
Rex, I got one more thing. I overheard some conversation earlier about some of our local equipment dealers that sell snowblowers. Marlon needs to maybe reiterate that this isn't. I don't think we've got a local dealer that sells anything this big. Do we?
They sell tractor mount stuff.
But just so the public would know that we're not sidestepping any local business people to buy something.
Mr. Chair, I heard you talking to Rick, and I don't know how it's going to work. If we can declare it an emergency, I think we need a fair amount of discussion on which of these two machines to. So I have some concern that the smaller horsepower one is claiming it can move more snow, and I do know it's the John Deere dealer, and we're familiar with them from buying equipment, and there's a comfort level there. But it would seem to me if that could be separated somehow, or I think we ought to have a discussion on the two available machines.
I think you can.
Whatever Rick would advise, or does it have to be all rolled into one?
Well, I think I was here for most of Mark's presentation, and I think he hit pretty well on whether or not you have an emergency, and you guys are going to have to make that determination. And then I think it's definitely good practice to not just take the first thing comes down the pipe. I mean, you have competitive bidding statutes for a reason. You want to get the best price for your constituents or for the citizens. If you're stuck with what you have right now, I think a discussion on what's best is still appropriate, very appropriate.
What's the difference between the cost of that 202 horse and that 255 horse?
The one was 176 delivered. The other one was 124, and then it was $15,000 to $3,000 for the hitch. The one thing that, and Dave's right, if you're used to dealing with a dealer, Greg, the salesman brought up as, and what he called down and got the serial number of our loader and everything, and he said, he looked up the tipping power on it, range on it for hydraulics and lifting and everything, and that's why he's recommending this blower, because the other one might be just a little bit too big for our loader. He said you'd have to have a guy on there that's a pretty good operator. 3.5-yard bucket we have on our loader, that's about 9,270-some pounds at 2,600 and something a cubic yard for gravel. The one, I think the snow go one weighed 7,800 pounds. You know, so you're close to 8,000 pounds on that. The one, the RPM 217, I've seen the weight this morning. 7,400 pounds. It's just a little bit lighter.
Are we kind of getting caught up in a little bit of difference in what somebody says the machine will move for tons per hour of snow when it all depends on what kind of snow you got anyway?
Right.
Is that as big a concern maybe as the guarantee or the service that we may need on it later? That's the question I got.
And you have enough horsepower. You can always skimp on horsepower, but when you're blowing snow, you better have horsepower.
There probably is some merit to dealing with somebody we deal with all the time versus this one's coming from Wisconsin out of Canada, correct?
The one's coming from Wisconsin. The dealer's out of Lincoln, environmental specialist.
Oh, is he out of Lincoln?
Yeah.
I was thinking he's Wisconsin.
Been around a long time.
I don't know how long they've been around.
Mr. Chair.
Dave?
I'd like to ask Marlon, I believe you've been visiting with Saunders County and
yes,
kind of getting information from them. What brand did they end up
buying?
They
bought the RPM not the RPM, the Snowgo, but they bought the smaller one. On that page, there's a WK-800. They bought that one. That had 155 horse Cummins in it.
And then how about Saline? Lincoln Paper had Saline had bought one, and then one other county had bought the bigger one.
Seward
had bought the bigger one.
They had bought them from Greg at Murphy Tractor.
Both Saline and Seward?
Yes, Saline and York. Don Robb, he bought a big one out there at York County.
From the deer dealer?
Yeah, from Murphy Tractor, yep.
And had those counties had more time to research and whatever?
Basically not. We're all kind of calling around and trying to...
I was just seeing if there was any track record or anybody that knew more than we did.
Had been using them and see. So you're recommending...
I would probably recommend going with the Murphy Tractor one because it's just a little bit... You know, I know it's lower horsepower, but if we can, we don't have to blow it 200 feet. You know, we can.
This one's 150 feet, though, correct?
Yeah.
The Murphy is.
Yeah.
Probably about 80% efficient. So
you know, it's a little bit lighter, which I think would be better for our loader. So
blow it each way. That gets you pretty well opened up for.
And having a dealer nearby who we've got a whatever
history.
Relationship with,
and I think I said this at Road and Bridge Monday, Saturday about 11 o'clock, we had an injector line going out of our John Deere motor grader. But we sent a mechanic up, and of course he was working on it. He took it off. He didn't realize that line carried 2,000 pounds of pressure. He took it off and blew in it, and he said, oh, it ain't cracked. And I called the dealer, or the salesman, this Greg, and I said, you know that John Deere is leaking diesel fuel, and I think it's an injector line. And he said, well, he said, I got a mechanic in southwest part of Lincoln. He said, I can have him there in a half an hour. And then we hung up, and pretty soon he called back, and he said, well, is it the number two cylinder? And I said, well, I don't know, I'll ask. So I called up there, and they said, yeah, it's another number two cylinder. Oh, he said, it's an injector line. He said, the guy's got one on the truck. He'll be down there, and by 1 o'clock he was going. So that says something for a dealership.
Are you looking at 107,000?
For which one, though? I think you need to state at the emergency.
Whatever needs to be done, that I believe it is indeed an emergency, as in our discussion here is documented such, and I would move that we declare enough of an emergency that we need to buy the snow blower right away, and I would choose the one recommended by our county highway superintendent,
the RPM 217.
Is it the RPM 217?
Second.
Moved by Anderson, second by Fleece. Discussion.
Mr. Chair, it might be noted also that you have signed an emergency declaration for this too already, and you filed that with the state. So it is, the county has been declared emergency.
Okay.
So the motion could read as documented by the earlier signed emergency declaration. We deem an emergency enough to take this quick action.
Should it, as I understand the motion, is you're moving to waive the competitive bidding requirements and proceed under Section 23-3109, subsection 2.
Yep, that's exactly what I moved.
because of the snow emergency and the necessity of buying the equipment immediately.
You couldn't have interpreted the vice chairman's motion any better.
Thank you. You can help the clerk draft the motion.
I try to listen.
You didn't put in her life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
Sure, throw it on.
Yeah. Next motion, Mr. Fleece.
Okay, any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. What else, Marlon?
I think that's all I got. And I think, you know, if we didn't do nothing and we got a severe storm again, I think we'd all be wondering why we didn't do something. So I guess this is the insurance. So
hey, if you don't do it now in 6 months, there will be no snow.
Yeah.
And nobody will worry about it.
Yeah. So,
thank
you. Okay, Emily, weed report.
Absolutely. Okay. Are you in line?
Yeah, that whole banking group.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, my report is pretty cut and dry. Not a lot happened different from last year. Maybe a few more filings as far as complaints. We did get a big thing for Gage County with the Five Rivers Weed Management Area. We got almost a $7,000 grant for Phragmites. So we were able to help 24 Gage County landowners spray. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes out this year as far as coming back, if it does. Since we're on the topic of snow, it'll be an interesting year, too, for weeds as far as their population. I think with all the moisture, they're going to be heavy again this year, especially thistles. So the complaints on that will be high. I've done a couple news articles in the Daily Sun, which has been great as far as trying to educate the public. We are planning a conference, a weed conference, with three other counties this summer to try and educate landowners. So it'll be no expense to the landowners. Just come and get some information on weeds. So, other than that.
Good enough.
Yeah.
That's what we like.
Chairman, I make a motion. We put the report on file.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Second by Fleece. Put the report on file. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
6 month budget update, Ron.
Can I use my phone?
Yes, you may.
Do you want
I've got a freaking feet hanging in here. I can't keep chin resting on the table.
Baby George. Baby George.
Why not?
Third floor is looking pretty nice. You've been up?
No.
Yeah, you have to get up there.
Weed yourself.
Excuse me, Shredder.
Yeah, as your finance chairman, I thought it was appropriate to bring you up to date on your semi-annual budget and what's happening to your money that you appropriated about 6 months ago. This, by the way, will be my last budget report. I've already told the new chairman or the re-elected chairman that this is my last year as chairman of the Finance Committee. Some people will be glad, and maybe some people might be sad. I'm not sure at this point in time. 2 years as chairman of the Finance Committee, I think, is long enough for it. I'm like the president of the United States. You've been in this job a little bit, and you start getting more gray hairs and more concerns. So it's time to shift the responsibilities to other people on the board to do this. So I've listed before you, basically, there's five different columns there. The first one is what was spent by those agencies this last fiscal year. The next column is what was approved as their budgets for this present fiscal year. The third item is what was requested by the department heads.
The fourth item, the column there, is what has been spent this first 6 months and what percent of their budget has been spent for this first 6 months. So I thought it would, instead of having to go through 40 pages of documents on each one of the budgets that's available for anybody who wants to look at them more closely at the county clerk's office or whatever the case may be. But so I'll just briefly go through these. The county board, we spent a little bit over $181,000 last year. We budgeted $166,000 basically this year. We requested that same amount, and we've spent $83,102, which is 50% of our budget. We've spent the first 6 months, so we're right on target. County clerk was $146,724, spent last year. $151,707 was budgeted this year. They requested $153,163, and they have spent a little bit over $73,000 or 48%. The county treasurer was $225,789 last year. Their budget this year is $236,401. They requested $240,601 and have spent $117,117. That was kind of an interesting number. I looked back on my notes and I thought, man, how could I have 117,117? And that's what it amounts to. But there's a couple of items there that that they need to be aware of. Their travel expense the first 6 months is 73%, and their office equipment repairs is 80%. So might be a couple issues there that they may have to look at in the next 6 months on those budget items. The register of deeds is about a little bit over $119,000. They've spent, that was last year. This year they've budgeted $123,814. They requested $124,514 and spent $60,642, which is 49%. A county assessor, $205,212 was spent last year. The budget was $207,144 this year. Has spent had requested $213,993 and has spent $101,927 or 49%. The election budget was $73,651, which was budgeted last year. Last year, as you will recall, is an off-election year, so that's why that number's lower than what you would have this year, since we're in a primary election in May, and also we had the spatial election this last November. Budgeted $104,020. Requested $125,120. They have spent $33,365 to date, or about a third of their budget. A couple of items that show up right now is their overtime was 71%. However, there is some good news, I guess. They've only spent about 11% of your part-time. You'll probably have more part-time come May, I'm sure. And the voting supplies, about 64% has been spent in that category. Planning and zoning, $8,900 was spent last year. They budgeted $21,547. They requested $19,397. In the first 6 months, they spent $42,24, about 20%. The reason that's increased the budget there is they're going to do bringing up their comprehensive plan on planning and zoning, so that's going to be that increases primarily for those consulting fees to do that. Clerk of the district court, about $122,000 spent last year. $124,252 is what was budgeted. They requested $124,114. Just to be fair, we had to cut about $140 from their request, so it wasn't too bad. Or give them a little bit more than what they requested, which is unusual. 6 months, they've spent $59,646, which is 48%. The judge of the county court most of the county court costs are paid by state. That's why they have a pretty small budget. Last year they spent a little bit over $10,000, about $11,000. They budgeted $11,200 this year, requested $11,200, and spent $4,203 to date, or 38%. The district judge spent $186,656 last year. budgeted $191,229, had requested $204,333, have spent $108,499, or about 57% of the budget. One item in their budget is attorney fees. Is 95% of what was budgeted. $53,000 was budgeted. They have spent to date about $50,450. Public defender, $103,425 was spent last year. $119,600 was budgeted. Same amount was requested and have spent a little bit over $59,000, or about 50% of that. Building and grounds last year was spent about $209,000. They budgeted this year $238,132. They requested $281,932. Have spent to date a little bit over $106,000, or about 45% of their budget. General maintenance is about 83% of what was budgeted. That was budgeted $50,000. Has spent $41,734. In looking at this, I think there's probably been some funds that have spent for maintenance that went into general maintenance that may have went into different categories under building and grounds. There's some that they haven't spent any funds out of there yet. So I think that's a coding problem more than it is a expenditure problem, and just looking at what has been spent there for that category. So I'll visit with the new chairman or whatever. We'll have to visit with Dave Jones and Barb about some of those buildings to make sure they're getting to the right coding on it, because everything's being coded to that one category. Extension was $123,435 spent last year. Budgeted this year, $124,012. They requested $124,662 and have spent $8,318, or 47%. Their part-time clerical is at 92%. They budgeted $3,000, have spent a little bit over $2,700. Office equipment repair, they've spent 69% of their budget. $6,000 was budgeted. They've spent $4,126. So that's a couple items, I guess, Paul Hay will have to look at as to what the reasoning might have been for those increases. Sheriff Department, $835,297 spent last year, $902,837 was budgeted, requested $943,637, $425,291 has been spent, or 47%. Travel expenses is up 123% of budget amount. I suppose one of those was just something we paid here about 2 weeks ago. There was a trip. They had to go someplace to Washington, the state of Washington. That was pretty expensive. When you get one or two of those, that kind of blows that category wide open. Investigative expense was 64% of budget. $11,000 was budgeted. $7,005 has been spent. County attorney, $340,703 was spent last year. The budget this year is $350,993. They budgeted $359,514 and have spent $176,866, or 50%. Autopsy coroner, they're 79% of budget. $20,000 was budgeted, spent $15,891. Office supplies, about 70%. Budgeted $5,000, spent a little bit over about $3,500 on those two categories there. County jail, $695,240 was budgeted or spent last year. This year's budget was $656,176, requested $684,536, and has spent $282,407, or about 43% of the budget. One item, and I'm not sure why, utilities for lights is up 72%, $14,000 budgeted, $10,069 was spent for that item. Radio equipment repair was 482% of budget, $500 was budgeted, $2,411 was spent. I went back and looked in the last couple of years, and they hadn't spent hardly any money under this category. And so why there's some situations there that increase that. Contract food service, $75,000 was budgeted. They've spent $36,802, about 49%. Med treatment, about 42%, $50,000 was budgeted, have spent $21,075. Boarding contracts, 20% of what was budgeted has been spent there, which is a good plus. $100,000 was budgeted and have spent to date, I got too many dollar signs there, $19,929 has been spent so far under the boarding contract. District probation, about $35,000, $43,000 was budgeted this year, $43,000 was requested, and we've spent $14,111, or 33%. Emergency management was about a little bit over $93,000 spent last year, $130,802 was budgeted, $136,402 was requested, and have spent $47,455, or 36%. So far, the first 6 months, the county surveyor, $84,332 was spent last year, budgeted $89,072, and that was what was requested, and spent $29,532, or 33%. The veteran service office was $69,755 spent last year, $70,963 was budgeted, same amount was requested, and spent $35,490, or 50%. Miscellaneous general, last year was $2,145,029 was spent. The request this year was $5,509,454. They requested $3,104,403. What was spent to date is $1,228,957, or 22%. Legal fees, outside attorneys, $170,000 was budgeted, spent $52,023, 31% of that category. Miscellaneous contingency, $280,000 was budgeted. We spent $42,643, or about 15% of that one. The next one is roads. Always leave the most to the last. $4,021.455 was spent last year. $3,728.50 was budgeted for roads. $3,888,355 was what they requested, and to date they'd spent $2,203,569, or 59% of the budget. Building repair was the only thing that was kind of striking, 80% at this point in time. $40,000 was budgeted, and $31,850 has been spent. The totals of all those categories, a year ago we spent $10,036,289. Our budget this year for those same categories is $10,834,879, or an increase of about $800,000. What was requested by the agencies, departments, $11,228,398, or about $400,000 less than what was requested. To date, $5,314,288 has been spent, or when you total everything up, we're at 49%. So it's pretty good. I guess after the first 6 months, department's been doing a great job looking at their budgets and getting everything, you know, no more than what they actually need.
Well, I, Ron, want to tell you, I will be one of the sad columns. I think you've done a very good job. Some may be offended that you question why they want the money.
Hey.
You make them black and white once they produce the reasons. I haven't seen you be unreasonable. You've been very fair. You just didn't have the open checkbook. You've done a very good job. I've learned an awful lot from you, and thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Would have a quick question. As far as the building renovation and the bond, just any, just approximate, how's that coming? Are we halfway through?
Oh, we're about three-fourths of the way through. Asbestos is, I think we, I don't know if we have any more bills or not. We paid the third one here this last week.
On that claim, it looked like there was a fourth payment hanging out there, about $8,800.
Yeah, there could be a small one maybe coming in yet.
Just a little.
That was about a 68 or 80, 70.
88, I think.
Okay, we had a last change order when we got up on second floor, I guess it was, that we weren't on the original one. But no, we're in pretty good shape as long as people don't get after the inheritance too much. you know, we got $1.8 million in there, and sure, we're going to have some unexpected cost this next 6 months, snow, those kind of items. But I tell you, we're much better off to have $1.8 million in there than what we were 3 years ago when we had $300,000 in there. You know, and but let's not forget that that is strictly an emergency, or things that we need to do, like in here in the courthouse, of getting things done and get it done at a time when it's going to be cheaper to do it now than 3 years down the road. And same thing with snow blowers and whatever comes up. But don't think that's an open checkbook either. Even I'm not on the finance committee, I'm still sitting over there, and I'll be questioning some things too. So, Mr. Chairman.
I just said he wasn't going to be chairman of finance. I didn't hear anything about
it. I didn't hear any of that either.
About resigning from the whole committee.
About now is when Ron looks at me and starts to utter point of order, so I think we'll take a recess till 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I've lost focus.
I was driving to a Pickerel Village.
I've lost focus.
I had to call him. I was laughing.
Okay, going
to
reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors. 10 o'clock. Attendance by observation. Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard.
Makes me feel better.
Approve or disapprove Spencer Fain performing a focused HR audit. Don.
The mental pictures.
Well, I sent, everybody has a copy in their packet of the email that Marshall Tofty sent out, that the Department of Labor has increased its investigations of employers complying with wage and hour regulations. And so anyhow, he said that they have attached to information that Pam Bourne with Spencer Fain, Britt and Brown, which is one of their agencies under NIRMA that contracts with NIRMA, that they provide some information that they will come in and do an audit for us. And you should all have copies of that. You can read that. And I believe then the audits would be conducted in January or February of this year, and would be $1,000. And it's kind of to make sure we're in compliance, everything's ready if we get audited by the department. So, of
looks to me like it's a
labor.
pretty feasible thing to do, and get another perspective from people on this. So
prior to Department of Labor.
Yeah.
Gary?
Well, exactly. What do they do? I don't mean exactly, but are they going to come into each office, or just the ones that?
Cannot tell you.
I mean, is it? Are they going to be going to the county attorney, the assessor, the treasurer?
On the attached document that Pam Bourne's company has says to help counties prepare for the Department of Labor's new enforcement strategy and regulatory changes, each audit will include verifying the exempt status of five positions as selected by the county, reviewing job descriptions, telephone conversation with county clerk or anyone else that wants to participate, verify accuracy of county's overtime payment practices, telephone consultation with the clerk or anyone else to review county's record-keeping obligations, the I-9 forms, personnel files, payroll records. Review 10 of the county's form I-9s, verify forms are accurate, completed, and retained, verifying county's compliance with all legally required employment law postings. That's kind of a summary is what she has here. That's about all I can tell you on what they've emailed us.
Now, like exempt status, doesn't that refer to if they're, like, hired? Not hourly.
She has a paragraph specifically. Department of Labor intends to require employers to discuss or to disclose how many hours were worked in a pay period, how pay was computed, deductions were made, whether overtime it was properly computed for each pay period. You know, so I guess it's just kind of a pre-audit for us to get in compliance if we're not.
Some of the job description and stuff they're going to do if the other elected officials have theirs. Because, you know, some of it may apply and some may not. I guess that's what I'm getting at.
So most of it would be recommendation. I guess the way I look at employment, yeah, we've got 109 roughly employees or so. That's 109 potentials for something going wrong. And employment infractions are not typically cheap. So I think that's probably money well spent. So what'd that come out to about? Less than $10 an employee?
Yeah. Well, and you look at the number of departments, you know, I know they won't be looking at each department, but, you know, they looked at five or six or ten.
And if they see things that gives us recommendations, then we know full going into it
what the ramifications are.
Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
So moved
by Anderson, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. Oh, Randy?
I would just make a request that you're going to be working with Spencer Fain, the law firm, to do that, that be in consultation with the county attorney's office, since we still do represent the county, and that we would be able to work with them with respect to any of their recommendations.
And they're the NIRMA.
Yeah, they're the NIRMA contacts.
Basically a NIRMA deal.
Now vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove change order number 6 for tapered bottom to gutter pan north-northeast corner of the roof of courthouse to allow for proper drainage in the amount of $282. Ron.
You want me to jump in there?
Yeah, David.
Ron was unable to make the building grounds committee, and so I took some notes for him. What this applied to is they had a relatively short section of gutter that was not draining, and so when they were doing their post inspection, they noted there was some standing water there, so they had the company come back, and the architects did, and put in a section of false bottom so it would drain properly, and that was the change order.
Which part of the roof was that, Dave?
Yeah. Up on the edge. No, I can't tell you which corner or where. I really can't.
Northeast corner.
I think he mentioned, didn't he, during the presentation, but I didn't take
north,
it. North,
northeast corner of the roof.
Right.
Says so right here.
Says so right here, yeah. So,
I would move to approve the change order.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Committee reports.
I missed all the committee meetings except I'll depend on Dave on building and grounds and Matt and Shirley on finance if there was anything.
I would have a couple quick ones, Mr. Chair.
Dave?
In Road and Bridge, I think Marlon covered about everything except I did report on a list, and this is strictly as an observer, rural resident, and I guess you could say chairman of the Road and Bridge Committee, but I just thought I'd jot these things down. Luke chastised me because my original notes were in longhand, and so I thought I'd get on the computer and type these up for him. But basically, you can see for yourself just that maintenance of the entire right-of-way becomes so important when you have snows like this, whether it's the tall grass where mowing regs should take effect or whether it's trees and brush in the right-of-way or in the fence lines. And again, we've got statutes that if we enforce them strictly can reduce that. And then there are some just other questions there. So I would just offer that as some potential lessons learned by the last few weeks. Building and grounds, again, to fill in for Ron, Achievers reported that the second floor figures will be the cost for the updates on the second floor changes will be presented to the committees and to the board 2 weeks from now. They should have all those figures for like the courtrooms and those kind of things. We did have a substantial presentation by the judge and by the Radigans on the courtrooms. It was very interesting. We're already in discussions with, like, the county attorney's office as to how to best deal with, you know, bidding or letting or just what's the process of when those figures come in. Some of that money they're hoping to raise, as you read in the paper, from private sources. But that's going to be geared more towards the furnishings, the benches, and the jury box and such. The physical, the building things, the walls, the ceiling, the floor, those kind of things would obviously, or more obviously anyway, be a county board or county expense. They did announce that all the new plumbing is in place now, and they're just tearing out the old plumbing. If you see people rattling around the hall with pipes, it's the old stuff coming out. We're all hooked back up to city water, and the plumbing is now functional in the building. The security system contracts were signed. The elevator should be operational in about 30 days. There's still a little bit of an issue of a conduit that's running in the elevator shaft. it's been determined that those are telephone wires. Those aren't like high voltage electrical wires. But the elevator regs say there should be no electrical wires or conduits in the shaft. So they're still trying to figure out whether they have to move all those phone wires or not. So not a horribly big deal, but just pretty typical of the hundreds of little things you run into when you get into a project of this scope. I think that's pretty much it. Anybody else report?
Just a question about building grounds. There's the gutter as you come in the southeast side there. Are those galvanized or are those copper? There's a couple, I get ice jams leaking down. Were those?
I've talked to Dave about it. I think they're galvanized, but he thinks they're plugged someplace. And as soon as it thaws out and stuff, I don't know, they may have to get a rotor runner or something to go up in the top.
Okay.
You know,
I don't know if they
there's something that's restricting the flow of this. Yeah. It got a big ice cube, icicle there.
I just saw that when I walked in.
Something plumbing is done with hot water. And we have hot water pretty soon.
Don't pretend. You don't apply to Northeast Gage County.
I guess so.
When
they get everything done.
Like Adams.
They didn't report. Danny, do you recall? Did he say anything about did that little miniature boiler get hooked up? It seems like the handicapped entrance was free of ice, so I'm assuming they
assuming it did. All of that was supposed to be done, so I'm assuming that.
As far as hot water to the restrooms, I don't know.
They said all that was done, but we didn't get into the details.
And I guess the one thing with that would, I guess, affect a lot of the redoing efforts in the courtrooms is there are various treatments for those beams, particularly in the district courtroom, whether you totally strip them down and re-varnish them and do whatever, or there's a wood graining process where they can basically paint them with a sealer, and then they do a wood grain type that, if done by professionals, will look exactly like wood. Really exactly. I mean, you'd have to be right up to it to tell the difference. And the other would be some type of a paint scheme where the beams would be painted one color and the inset's a different color. And I guess if we take them up on it and we will presumably come back to the board for okay to do that, but Radigan's have offered to do a sample of each type of renovation for no charge so that we can come in and evaluate how it looks along with the cost of doing each process. So I thought that was, and they're really enthusiastic and they're in town and they want to do it and they love old buildings, but there are these legal steps, obviously, we have to go through bidding processes.
They are trying to raise funds to offset it.
Yeah. So that ends my report. Thank you.
Dave Jones and I are going to be meeting with attorneys or some committee on Monday noon at Valentino's to discuss the renovation and the fundraising for the courtroom. So we're going to start visiting with them and about what we would probably think about doing and what their responsibilities might be in raising funds and where to go. There's historical funds, there's tourism funds, there's all kinds of potentials there for them to Gage County Foundation. Various items that's available to them to look at what it might cost to do some of the work that they think they might want to do up there. So.
And the Bar Association is taking the lead on that.
Yeah. Tri-County, they call it, don't they?
Right.
Tri-County Bar Association. So.
Matt?
Emergency Management EMS Committee, we met January the 5th, and I've got Denny's new contact, so I won't leave you out of the loop. So I think what I need to do is just maybe put together, I'll do it in email, kind of an update over what we've done over the last several months. Mark was here earlier, but I'll just touch on some few things he talked about. Still has some concerns, and I think that was in the papers article too, about some generator needs for some facilities here in the county. Talked about some of the in-services or training that's going on. January 14th, having a skills night at the hospital for all of the emergency personnel, EMS type people. So I have that there. We talked a little bit about the 911 communication, answering the phone things, kind of beat that horse to death. And so I think that's taken care of with the communication center. Mark's got some storage needs. He's looking at trying to come up with maybe this carport that's back here, seeing if he can do something with that. I think he's got a lot of his equipment stationed around, so he's looking at what are some potential needs there. We talked briefly about start planning for next year's budget, start looking at what you may need, things that are out there. And from the ambulance advisory committee, he gave us kind of a brief update. They're moving forward on some things, and try to keep Rick informed with that also. And as we move forward with the county medical director, Dr. Rice, and the other ambulance service providers that are out there, that contract again is up the end of July or the beginning of July, something like that. So we'll start working on movement towards a new contract. I think we got bogged down a little bit last year, and sometimes it's time to back away, hands off for a little bit, let everybody work together. And so I think we'll, in the next couple of months, get back at that again. So that'll come back again.
Oh,
so be looking for an email in the next couple of weeks, and I'll try to just kind of give a bigger picture of what's kind of taken place. So
I think he had to find a place for people to stay in case of an emergency that didn't have a generator, and he had made arrangements with the Parkview Center. Didn't he?
Yeah,
they had plenty of beds or something. I thought there's a lot of things that he's running after that we're not even aware of. He has to look for.
Yeah, you know, Mark likes to talk about going out and getting people and at the wee hours of the night, but I think more and more his job becomes administrative, trying to get the townships to turn in the money right, trying to find resources of where people need to go. And I think it's, my impression is he gets pulled in eight different directions at any given day. And a lot of his job is paperwork, quite honestly. You got to document stuff, and you got to turn it in and get paid for it.
Any more committee reports? Need a motion to go into executive session relevant to the federal lawsuits and personnel matters.
I'll move.
Is that good?
Actually, it's also relevant to a couple of other lawsuits that are out there.
Okay.
Oh, boy. That's all we need.
Vote. 7-0. Randy? For the